Good morning and welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker this morning is Central Florida Bible Church's pastor, John Pereira. You may wish to have paper and pen for important information following this message. For more information regarding prior broadcasts and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info, I-N-F-O. Now here is Pastor John proclaiming the Strength for Today.
I'd like to welcome you to Strength for Today Bible Broadcast. This morning we're going to be dealing with the subject, how to handle obstacles in your life. Are you facing some obstacles in your life that are testing your faith and your resolve to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, some Christians are like the Peanuts character Pigpen. You know that character that always walked around with the gloomy cloud over his head. We've all heard the term Murphy's Law. A lot of times we look for Murphy's Law. We're always depressed and despondent. Someone once said that you can tell when you're having a bad day in the following ways. When you see a 60 Minutes news team in your office, or when you call the suicide prevention and they put you on hold, or you turn on the news and they're showing the emergency routes out of the city, or how about you could tell when you're having a bad day when your twin sister forgets your birthday, or your car horn goes off accidentally and remains stuck as you're following a group of Hell's Angels down I-4. Or how about this one, when your boss tells you not to bother to take your coat off when you come into the office, or when your IRS check bounces, or for those of you that wear contact lenses, when you put both contact lenses in the same eye, you know you're about to have a bad day. Well, you know, the truth of the matter is the Christian life doesn't exempt us from having problems in our lives. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 33, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." See, obstacles and trials are all part of the Christian life. But are you willing to trust God with the outcome? 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world to show himself strong in half of those whose heart is perfect towards him." We need to realize that as believers, where God guides, he also provides. Are you going through obstacles? Our passage this morning is going to take us to the book of Numbers, chapter 13, and Numbers, chapter 14, where we find the story of two men who feared nothing but the Lord and desired nothing other than God's approval for their life. And they were willing to face the obstacles, and they were willing to respond by faith. In our passage this morning, we're going to see that the children of Israel are about to claim the promised land. They have left the land of Egypt, and they're on their way to the promised land and the long-awaited fulfillment of their entrance into the land is seen. And we're going to see four observations regarding the testing of their faith. First of all, we have God's command. In chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, the Word of God says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every man of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all those men who were heads of the children of Israel. God's command was that they send forth spies to spy out the land of Kadesh Barnea. So we have God's command, and notice the people's compliance in verse 21 of chapter 13. It says, "So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rahab, as men were coming to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Timon, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between the two on a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from there. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. As a matter of fact, these two individuals carrying between staves this cluster of grapes has become the modern symbol of the Israeli tourist industry. And here they obeyed the word of the Lord. But I want you to notice, we have God's command and the people's compliance, but notice the people's complaint in verse 26. They encountered some obstacles. You know, in the pathway of following God's command, you can see to it, and you can always know that there are going to be obstacles in your way. But God wants us to respond by faith. Notice the people's complaint to the obstacles. And they went and they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land where thou sentest us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Zebulites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And here was the complaint. And they began to see all of the obstacles rather than keeping their eyes on God's provision. But you know, in spite of all of the complaints, I want you to notice the fourth observation. I want you to notice Joshua and Caleb's confidence. In verse 30, it says, "Joshua and Caleb said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it. We're well able to overcome it.'" In chapter 14 and verse 6, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephthunah, which were of them that searched their land, they rent their clothes. They were grieved at the disobedience of God's people. Now, what made the difference in Joshua and Caleb's life? As a Christian, you're going to encounter obstacles. All of us are. Jesus said, "All those who live godly in Christ will suffer persecution." But what makes the difference between a Christian that is able to respond to obstacles by remaining positive and keeping his eyes on Christ and going on in the Christian life? Well, the difference between Joshua and Caleb and the children of Israel are threefold. Number one, Joshua and Caleb had different goals. The goals of the Israelites was to get a land by serving God. Their primary goal was to get the land, get the land, get the benefit. But the goal of Joshua and Caleb was to, first of all, serve God. And in the midst of serving God, to inherit the land of Canaan. You see, there's a difference between the two. One has the eye upon the product of obedience. The other has the eye upon the act of obeying God and trusting the outcome to Him. What are the goals in your life? Are the goals in your life to have a good life and make a lot of money? Is God simply a nice philosophy that you follow in order to get all of those benefits? If that's the case, then you're no different from the Israelites in our story this morning. But for those with a spirit like Joshua and Caleb, serving God is the goal, not the material benefit that follows serving God. I think of John chapter 6, when the children of Israel and those that followed him in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, many of them followed Jesus, not because they loved him, not because they saw spiritual needs that only the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ could provide, but we have people who followed Christ for the byproduct, for the benefit of the bread and the fish. Oh, there are many today that profess to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but they have their eyes on the prosperity gospel. They're following Jesus for what they can get from him. To them, Jesus is no more than a genie in a bottle. And they rub the side of their Bible, and they are simply asking Jesus to truly be their servant rather than their Lord. But Joshua and Caleb were different because they had different goals. The second reason that made a big difference in Joshua and Caleb's life, and it ought to make a difference in our lives as we face obstacles, is not that we should have different goals from people in the world, but that we ought to have a different perspective to obstacles in our lives. Both Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 spies, they saw the same things in Canaan. They experienced the same amazing reactions when they saw the fruit of the land. They saw the enemies. They saw the obstacles. But yet they saw it from different perspectives. Joshua and Caleb responded through the perspective of faith. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." What about the giants that you're facing in your life? The children of Anak that occupied the area of Kadesh Barnea? The Israelites said, "We're like grasshoppers beside them. They're tall, they're powerful, they're formidable." And that's the nature of oppositions and obstacles that we'll find in the Christian life. And in facing the trial of giants in the land, the Israelites looked only to themselves, and they realized that they could not overcome the enemy. And that was certainly true. Joshua and Caleb realized that they, in and of themselves, could not overcome the enemy. But the point is, Joshua and Caleb looked beyond themselves. And there's a lesson for you that are listening to my voice this morning. Yes, your assessment of your obstacles may be true. They are beyond you. They are greater than your abilities perhaps to solve. But are you willing to look beyond the obstacle to the Lord who said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me"? Faithful is the one who has called you, who also will do it. Joshua and Caleb, they looked to God, and they realized that God could overcome any enemy, regardless of how overwhelming it appeared. I ask you this morning, what's your perspective on things? What about when your health fails, or when your love life isn't what it ought to be? When finances are tight, or you've lost your job? Are you going to give up? Are you going to look at your own resources and abilities and say, it's too much, I'm not going to progress in the Christian life? The Lord allows obstacles in our lives, folks, to make us better, not bitter, to help us to go forward and not backwards. I think of Habakkuk, the prophet, when he said in chapter 3 in verses 17 and 18, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, even though the labor of the olive tree shall fall, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stall. In other words, he's saying, even though every outward circumstance appears to be against me, notice his response. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon my high places. So what made the difference between Joshua and Caleb and the children of Israel? First of all, they had different goals. They wanted to serve God and trust upon Him. Number two, they had a different perspective. They committed their shortcomings to an all-powerful God who was able to do far above that which they could ask or think. Thirdly, what made the difference in Joshua and Caleb's life was that their actions were different. You know, your goal and your perspective in life will determine your actions. The actions of the Israelites was one of unbelief. We can't go into the land. The obstacles are too great. But notice, the actions of Caleb and Joshua were one of faith. As Christians, people are to look at us and see people who act differently. That's why Peter wrote in chapter 4 and verse 3 of 1 Peter, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in uncleanness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they, that's the unsaved, think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. In other words, the unsaved, those that do not know Christ as Savior, they're going to look at us and they're going to say, you're different. Why don't you respond like I do? You know, I think of a time in my life when I was working my way through seminary in Indiana, and I got a job working as a lead man at a confection oven plant. And it was my job to train at the various stations so that the men, in turn, as they took their vacation, would be able to have their places filled. And it was my opportunity to be able to witness to all of those men that were doing the training. Well, I'll never forget one fella that was training me. After I had been with him for 3 or 4 weeks, this man looked at me. He was a non-believer. He was an old salt, one who truly was a crude man. He looked at me and he said, John, what is it with you? You don't do all the things that we do. You don't drink, you don't cuss, you don't swear, you don't run around to our parties, you don't take your paycheck and spend it on Friday when we go out with our friends after work. What are you? Some kind of a teacher or something? You see, that was the best thing, the most virtuous position that this secular man could dream of, a teacher. Well, he didn't know that I was preparing for the ministry to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, he found something different in my life, and I had the opportunity of sharing the Lord Jesus Christ with him. Well, he did not embrace Christ as his personal Savior, but several months later, when a crisis came in his life, when his wife was unfaithful to him, I was the one that he came to for spiritual counsel. I was the one that was able to pray with him and minister to him and encourage and counsel him. Why? Because he wanted to go to someone who was different. Believer in Christ, you represent your God and Savior. Your Lord is guiding you through the obstacles of life. Don't quit. Show yourself to be different, a peculiar people, a people of God's private possession, because he has promised that he'll never leave you or forsake you. You know, in the narrative of Numbers chapter 14, we had seen God's command and the people's compliance and also the people's complaint. Then we saw in contrast Joshua and Caleb's confidence. But I want you to notice, as I close our radio broadcast for this morning, the people's calamity. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 39, the Word of God reads of this great tragedy. The Bible says in verse 39, Moses told these sayings unto the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly, and they rose up early in the morning, and gat them up to the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. You see, Moses had conveyed to the children of Israel that God would abundantly pardon their rebelliousness in failing to go to Kadesh Barnea. But there was an element of judgment and calamity that would come upon them. All of those who were 20 years and up, the Lord had said, Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, 20 years and upwards. But your little ones, which you said would be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. Your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Then the children of Israel were repenting, and then they wanted to go up to the city and conquer Kadesh. But notice the Lord said, Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye not be smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are before you, and you shall utterly fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the top of the hill. Nevertheless the ark of the covenant of the Lord and of Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. Here the children of Israel experienced calamity because they failed to trust God in the midst of their obstacles. You know, there are many today that superficially embrace an outward form of religion, just like the Israelites did. But because of their unbelief in the midst of the trials of life, and their unbelief in failing to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, not only as their personal Savior, but as the one who can guide them through trials, their end will be that of condemnation, because they've never come to Christ by faith as their personal Savior. I think of 2 Peter 3:9. God's Word says, The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some would count slackness, but He's long-suffering towards usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. My question to you this morning, dear listener, is this. Have you come to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have the trials and the obstacles of life brought you to the place of being in the end of your rope where you realize that you have a greater need in your life than even the solving of your trial. The greatest need in your life is dealing with the sin question, the question that separates you from God. And once receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, and you deal with that sin issue and the guilt and the penalty which Jesus paid on the cross to provide for you eternal life, then you'll have the promise of Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. O sinner, settle this issue of your eternal destiny before it is too late. It was too late for repentance for those children of Israel that had rejected God's provision at Kadesh. Don't allow that to be true in your life. And if you are here and you're a Christian and you're facing some obstacles, look to Jesus Christ and give those obstacles to Him. Don't allow a disobedient spirit or wrong actions to enter into your life. Maintain the goals of a Christian. Maintain the perspective of a Christian. And maintain those actions of obedience as a Christian for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say in closing that if any of you as listeners are facing some trials and testings, I would encourage you to contact us at strengthfortoday.info. We would love to maintain a prayer list and be with you in the midst of the obstacles of life to encourage you and be of ministry to you. Contact us at strengthfortoday.info. Let me encourage you to come and visit with us at Central Florida Bible Church. In a few moments, you'll hear directions and instructions on how you can worship with us this Sunday to be under the sound of the Word of God. May God bless you, my beloved, and remember, when we are following the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be assured the best is yet to come.
Thank you for tuning in this morning to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Civic Club, located in Winter Park, just 3 traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to other messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info, I-N-F-O, or you may call Pastor John Pereira at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schaaf inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages, and the 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.